I should have made notes of all the things I want to talk about, but we'll see how that goes. I should do a lot of things. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? Okay, we got the movie. We got Aaron Clary on diversity. Then, of course, the main focus. I've got the book, if we have time to get to that. What was the other thing I was going to talk about? See, I've already forgotten. We just had this discussion. This is why I should write shit down, because my brain is like a fucking sieve. Oh, you scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Yep, that's probably how this is going to go down. And you know, there's nothing that reinforces my rightness more than when Captain Capitalism, Aaron Clary, publishes a blog post agreeing with what I have said. That is the greatest thing ever. As great as Stating the Obvious podcast, you're listening to it right now, is the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world, has a statist-seeking warhead in it, finds people. Who's texting me? Why are people texting me? This better be a girl. Hold on, I need to check this. Oh god, it's... what's this shit? Yeah. We? What's this we shit? It's a girl, but it's not the kind of girl I have sex with. It's the kind of girl. What? Okay, yeah, I should be fucking podcasting and not reading text messages. Sorry, it involves money. I don't get paid to do the podcast. I get personal satisfaction from this because I am the great one himself and I enjoy the fuck out of doing this, but I don't get paid for it. When either girls who either want to have sex with me or girls that give me money text me, then they get my undivided attention. Hi, what's up, y'all? I am the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interweb, CYNLIBSOC on the Twitterverse. I am right. I am always right. I have always been right. I will always be right. It's impossible for me to be wrong because I'm simply not wrong, because if I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, I keep my mouth shut. And when I do find out that I actually made some sort of factual mistake, then I fucking don't... I don't try to cover up and compensate and blame sexism and patriarchy and all this other shit. I just say, hey man, I was wrong. I have new information. I now recognize I was wrong about this. And then I just fucking move forward. And when you don't have this sick little fucking attachment that you statist fuckers out there have to being right all the time. You know, oh, Obama, he has a Nobel Peace. He's so wonderful. Well, he murders people in foreign countries with flying robots. That's what you're fucking supporting. All right. Hi, what's up? In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can send us email at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the motherfucking interwebs. Let me do this real quick. I just finished watching a movie called The Last Days on Mars, something like that. I found it on YouTube. It's one of those, I've talked about this before. I'm like, hey, look, there's like full movies on YouTube. Who would have ever known? Where are the corporations and their copyright and everything? Anyhow, it's a movie. I got it off YouTube and watched it. It was not bad. It had nice production values. I mean, it looked really good. So it's a group of astronauts. They're on Mars. They're going home soon. And it's, in a way, it's not that super original. I mean, they find life on Mars, but ooh, the life on Mars infects them. The bacteria gets in their blood system. And the people who are infected turn into zombies, for lack of a better word, because they're dead, and I mean they're able to survive on the surface of Mars without a pressure suit. So I suppose we'd call them zombies, but they were smart zombies because they were smart enough to use explosives at one point. So anyhow, I mean, it looked really good, and in the sense of looked, I mean, like the rovers they were using and the base and everything, it looked really good. There is a lot of base made out of a lot of really thick metal, which makes me wonder, in this future that takes place in this movie, how much money was available to boost all of this mass into orbit. Because, you know, anything humans build in space, well, not anything, that's not true. I mean, at some point in the future, we could get to the point where we're mining asteroids and stuff like that. Low gravity, totally different. But for the foreseeable future, any mass, by mass, I mean weight, like molecules, atoms, right? I mean, you want to send an iron door, a door like for an airlock, that kind of a door. You want to send an iron door into orbit where you have to fucking... It starts on the planet Earth, you have to send it up the gravity well into orbit. And every fucking piece of weight that you shoot into orbit requires a fucking crap ton of fuel and energy to get it up there, at least until we have the space elevator. Which always fascinates me. People who don't know anything about science and science fiction always think shit like that doesn't actually work, or, you know, whatever. Just, if the state, let's talk about the state. If the state were not fucking things up so badly, we would already have a base on the moon. We'd already be on Mars. Of course, the reason we aren't is because the government has a monopoly on space travel. Now, very slowly, that monopoly is being loosened up. And what is this shit? Oh, fuck this. Not you guys. Sorry, I'm being distracted again. And it's a bad habit. Randy? Slap the shit out of me if I look at my email one more time. Okay, well, you can slap the shit out of me after we finish recording the podcast. So anyhow, it's zombies on Mars killing everybody. And it just again made me think about how, like, man, here's another problem that could be so easily solved. If we just had a fucking gun. Right? They're up here. They're on Mars. The zombies are trying to eat them. And it's like, dude, kill the fucking zombies. Oh, wait. You don't have any weapons. You know, I love how it's like, why would you need a gun to go to Mars? Well, you know what? When we went to Mars, we didn't fucking go to Mars. When we went to the moon... Actually, that's not true either. When we went, I was going to say something that... See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I am always right and never wrong. I was about to say something that was not true. And I stopped myself. Actually, when we went to the moon, they only took pretty much the bare minimum they could get away with, especially on the early missions. Later on, they took the rover, which they could have done without the rover and stuff like that. But still, they didn't have room. But a pistol, right? A sidearm and 40 rounds of ammunition is not exactly a lot of weight. So if you were sending a mission to Mars, I'm drinking a beer. I'm coughing in the microphone because I'm a professional. Don't try this at home. I know what the fuck I'm doing, obviously. Excuse me. Voice is going out. I did not do vocal warm-ups today before podcasting. Remember, if you want to be a professional podcaster, if you want to not sound like a fucking moron, do vocal warm-ups before you start recording, and then you won't sound like an idiot like me. Anyhow, a fucking 9mm pistol and 40 rounds of ammunition doesn't weigh that much. And if you're sending people to Mars and they had two big rovers and they got these... I thought they were going to a base, but I don't think they did. They had like two big bases, a hydroponics base and then their main science base made out of fucking steel with these big-ass thick steel doors. That's what the zombies had to use explosives to blow the airlock open. Right, so it's obviously not this flimsy base. So they invested a lot of energy shoving all this shit up the gravity well. Would it have killed them to have put a couple of 9mm pistols and a few hundred rounds of ammunition? And the statist out there and the fucking gun control wackos and the femistatist and the fucking fairies and all this other shit, the GLBTKKK, will all sit there and go, well, why would you need a gun? That's violence. That's evil. Guns are evil. You know what? When you're going to another fucking planet, you don't know what's going to fucking happen. I know you think that Obama controls everything and that if we were on Mars and there were some fucking zombies, Obama would just pass a law and says that, you know, the zombies are fucking minorities and you have to give them free birth control and tax breaks and make a fucking inclusive place for them to have a safe fucking speech zone and all this other shit. But that's, in reality, that really actually wouldn't work because the Mars zombies wouldn't give a fuck and they would just eat you. But not if you had a fucking gun. So if you're going to explore another planet, take a fucking gun with. Take a couple of fucking guns with you. I'm still a big believer a well-armed society is a polite society. If everybody on that Mars base would have had a fucking sidearm strapped to them with a fucking full clip of ammunition, the movie would have been 20 minutes long. You'd have 15 minutes of character introduction. The first person would have been exposed. Then maybe the second person would have been exposed because she was having an emotional response and she wasn't thinking clearly and all this other shit. And, I mean, that's cruel. And, I mean, again, it's understandable. You're on another planet. Somebody's died. She was the doctor, so she took this very personally because it's like her job to keep people alive. Because that's what the fuck she's there for. All right, so I get that. But then after that, so the two zombies come stumbling back to the Mars base. You got six other people. They've all got a gun. You just pull it out, you shoot them in the fucking head. Movie's over. Movie's 20 fucking minutes long. Again, you can't, if people just, this is why movies are movies, is because people in them don't use common sense and don't have any kind of fucking resources, because if they did, the movie wouldn't exist. So when you're going to, the point is this, when you go to Mars, take a fucking gun with you. Because you don't know what's going to happen. It was an enjoyable movie, and there was the one chick in there. She was kind of cute. And, of course, the guy who was a psychiatrist or psychologist, I don't know the difference between those things, the head shrink. In all these movies, in all these science fiction movies, where there's a bunch of people on a planet or on a spaceship or whatever, they always throw in a fucking head doctor who's supposed to be there to keep everybody sane and all this other stuff. And the head doctor, have you ever noticed, the fucking shrink always turns out to be the biggest fucking scumbag on the ship or on the base. So the fucking head doctor in this movie fucking locks the door on one of the other women and allows her to be eaten by the zombies. Just like in Aliens, you know, when Burke is running away and he closes the door and locks all the Marines out because he thinks he's going to get safe. So anyhow, the head doctor did that to one of the women on the team and she got killed. Fucking asshole. And then he like betrays the other survivors because he wants to escape and go back to Earth and he's worried that the other ones are infected. You know, that whole spiel. And by the way, spoilers, I guess. And anyway, of course, he ends up being infected. So, I mean, like I said, the movie did not have a lot of original territory to it, but it looked really nice. Like, the base looked fairly good and believable, and it was 2 hours long. But anyway, Last Days on Mars is what I believe the title was. All right. Let me move on to what I was intending to talk about today. I just finished up a couple of podcasts where I talked about Roosh V's article on his website where he said too much personal freedom is a problem and there should be more, people should have more of their decisions made for them by some nameless entity. He didn't actually name it in the post, but of course it must be the government because there is no other entity to make your decisions for you and no other entity that can enforce those decisions upon you. And I did two podcasts in which I discussed this. I talked about how You know, this is again where I pointed out why I am the cynical libertarian society, not the optimistic libertarian society, because when somebody as smart as Roosh wants the government to make everyone's decisions for them, you know you're fucked. I mean, when the stupid people, when the 99%ers, when the GLBTKKK and the femistatist and the virgin toes and all these other fuckers, you know, when they want the government to make decisions for them and for everybody else, that's expected. These are the inferior people. Oh, Aaron Clary, inferior people. First of all, Aaron Clary's video about inferior and superior people that was flagged by some overly sensitive social justice warrior. The clock didn't go off. That was interesting. Apparently I need to wind the clock, Randy. We were not did not get chimes. And his video that had been flagged by some social justice warrior is back up and live. If I remember, I'll put a link to it in this because it's well worth watching. And in one of his videos, I don't remember if it was this one. Well, that's a dangerous maneuver. Ah. I have my feet propped up on the desk and I'm twisting around and I'm coming dangerously close to either cratering the microphone or slamming my foot into the computer keyboard. Neither of which will be good, but we're done now. And Aaron, in one of his videos, I can't remember if it's the inferior, superior person video or a different one, because I watched a bunch of Aaron Clary videos yesterday, but he made a point, he articulated very well something that I've been saying for years, but have not articulated quite as well as he did. I have always said that diversity has nothing to do with skin color. And in fact, diversity, as the colleges and the left-wing statist and the femistatist and the GLBTKKK are trying to push it, is in fact simply a diversity of physical appearance, right? It's a diversity of people with different color skin and people who identify as various made-up sex groups and all this other stuff. But all of these people have exactly the same beliefs. Right? If you go to a college campus and you say to whoever, a professor, or you say to somebody who runs the GLBTKKK outreach group or the college Democrats or whatever, you go to these people and you say, would you assemble for me a diverse group of college students? They will bring to you a group of college students that has all the different colors of skin and different sexual orientations and gender identifiers. The, you know, white men who actually work for a living and are heterosexual will be excluded, but everything else will be in there. So you'll have all these different colors and heights, and you'll have fat people and transgendered people and whatever, bald people, people with piercings and tattoos and hormone treatments and breast implants and all this other shit. You won't have anybody who has a job or anything. You'll have unwed mothers and all this other stuff. And then if you talk to these people, you will find they all have exactly the same opinions. They will all, every one of them will have voted for Obama. They'll all believe women have a right to free birth control. They'll all be pro-choice. They'll all be pro-gay marriage. They'll all be pro-legalizing marijuana. They'll all hate rich people. They'll all think corporate taxes should be higher. They'll all be pro-welfare. So it's a diversity of appearance, but it's not a diversity of mindset. It's not a diversity of worldview. And Aaron pointed this out. He said that true diversity is not a diversity of what people look like. True diversity is a diversity of skills. In his example, he said something to the effect of, you have one guy who's an electrician, you have one guy who's a surgeon, that's the diversity that matters. Because if everybody just has the same skill set, you can't really accomplish anything because everyone is the same and everyone is boring. But so true diversity isn't what people look like. True diversity is what they are capable of doing. And I thought that was a brilliant observation, because he's right. I mean, in my opinion, diversity is a diversity, certainly of worldviews, you know, so not everybody's an Obama humper, yada, 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 yada. But he's right because he takes it to the next level, because you can't have a functioning nation, you can't have a functioning society, you can't have a functioning polis unless you have a diversity of skill sets. I mean, you have to have somebody who's really good at plumbing. You have to have some people who are really good at being electricians. And you got to have some people really good at repairing automobiles. You got to have some people really good at being engineers. You got to have some people really good at being doctors. You've got to have, this is a important diversity. And again, it's when diversity, when this is thrown out by the left-wing statist, all they're really talking about ever is simply the... You saw that, didn't you? The diversity of skin color and fucking gender orientation / identification. All right. So speaking of Aaron Clary, Aaron, aka Captain Capitalism, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Captain Capitalism published on the 18th of June, that was yesterday, after I did my podcast, I beat you to this one there, Cappy Cap. I got it out first. Ha ha ha. Normally I'm reading Captain Capitalism stuff and going, God damn, that's brilliant. I'm going to steal this. Oh. All right. He wrote this post called Maximum Freedom, Maximum Responsibility. And again, if I remember, I'll fucking link to it. We know that my brain is like a sieve. I've discussed that before. Let me write this down. Oh, link to post, and also link to inferior superior video. All right, here we go. Let's read this post in which Captain Capitalism agrees with the Great One himself and do some analysis of it. Captain Capitalism writes, "It is with understandable frustration that Roosh recently wrote this post on his site claiming that people do not deserve freedom, they deserve the freedom they've been given. And when you compare what Western civilization has become against the 4,000 years of intelligence, independent thought, sacrifice, war, morality, and altruism of our forefathers, an altruism our forefathers paid, thought, endured, suffered to make such freedoms possible, you can understand his point. Pajama boys of modern-day America demanding an increasing state compared to the World War II soldiers who fought against a forever-growing state. Girls obsessed with taking selfies when Galileo was ostracized for daring to insist the Earth orbited the Sun. And the years of precious and finite life the likes of Edison, Ford, Salk, Borland, and the Wright brothers, etc., sacrificed so that a generation of navel-gazers could concoct reasons of how they were oppressed and cheer on the bravery of Bruce Jenner. It is no doubt sickening how the sacrifices and prices paid by the generations past have resulted in the most spoiled and worthless generations of the baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials of today. However, while Roosh's logic is sound and his visceral disgust with humanity 100% valid, his argument against freedom for people is flawed, not by any fault of his own, but by the faults inherent in democracy and the society in which we live today." Now, first of all, let me put in this. This is one of the things, and for those of you not familiar with Aaron Clary, aka Captain Capitalism, he is not an anarcho-capitalist. But this is one of the problems I have with the anarcho-capitalist people, and people like Aaron, whom I generally most of the time respect, is making these fucking excuses by this. Well, Roosh's argument against freedom is flawed, not by any fault of his own. No, it is his fucking fault. It is Roosh's fault that his argument is flawed. Okay? He's not being fucking discriminated against by the patriarchy. You know, white men did not break into Roosh's house at night and force him to think that freedom is a bad idea. It is his fucking fault, Aaron. It's his fucking fault. This fucking making excuses for statist, This shit has to come to a fucking end. And this is why I am the Cynical Libertarian Society, because we don't have a chance. Because even intelligent people like Roosh is smarter than 99% of the people around him, and he still can't wait to get on his knees and put Obama's cock in his mouth. He cannot fucking wait for the government to make his decisions for him, because he's such a giant fucking pussy. And this is one of the smartest people around. So just imagine how pathetic the 99% are. No, this is where I do disagree with Aaron on this one. No, I'm tired of fucking making excuses for statist being statist. Roosh is a statist because he's got his head shoved up his ass. The fucking patriarchy did not force him to believe that freedom is bad. That moment of silence was brought to you by me drinking a beer. Okay, I continue reading. Understand that previous to democracy and even modern-day civilizations, there were automatic punishments built into the world that people would pay should they make stupid decisions. Do you poke a saber-toothed tiger with a stick? Do you spook a herd of mammoth into stampeding the village? Do you eat berries that you saw no other animal eat? If you did any of these stupid things, you would die and your stupid genes along with it. Hey, listeners of Stating the Obvious, where have you heard this before? I believe this is called natural selection. I think I fucking talked about this ad nauseum, as I freaking, my voice gives out and dies because I didn't do vocal warm-ups because I'm a fucking professional. Learn from me, my friends. Learn from, just like when I talk about my mistakes, learn from my fucking mistakes. If you're a 16-year-old boy right now, learn from my mistakes. Don't do stupid shit in your life, okay? There'd be nothing I'd like better than just be able to save some young people from their own stupidity. I can't save you from the stupidity of democracy and the statist fuckwads around you, because you can't escape that. They're like an avalanche. You know, you can hold your arms up, but when the boulder is going to kill you. Okay, there's nothing you can do about that. But if I can save you from your own stupidity to some extent, that will make everything I do on this podcast worth it. Now, if you have a really hot sister and she comes and has sex with me, that would really make it worth my while. But hey, you know, I can dream, right? All right, I go back to reading. However, even within civilization, stupid decisions were punished. Did you breed without being married, thereby forcing the tribe or village to support your mistake? Did you parasite off society, insisting on being a talentless bard instead of an industrious farmer? Did you commit crimes, stealing from people precious food and items that were in short supply? Well, at best you'd be ostracized, and at worst you'd be killed. Again, taking your inferior genes and decision-making ability out of the gene pool. And again, where have you heard about ostracism, ostracizing? I love that. Where have you heard about being killed by other people for your stupid decisions? Oh yeah, who is it that always, multiple times, over and over and over on his podcast has pointed out, in an anarcho-capitalist society, there would be less rape, not more. Because if you raped a woman, the woman would just kill you. Or if she didn't kill you, after you raped her, her friends and her brothers and her father and her boyfriend and her husband, oh wait, I forgot, women, marriage is patriarchy, unless it's homosexual marriage, and you know, the men in her life would come and find you and kill you. There would be less rape, because rapists would make bad decisions to rape women, but then there'd be consequences, because there'd be no police and judges and laws and lawyers and politicians to protect the rapist from the ramifications of their stupid decisions. Anyway, where are we at? Let me keep reading. The point is that, yes, you've had the personal freedom to do many things, but neither society nor nature was going to protect you from the cost and consequences of making bad decisions. In other words, yes, you had maximum 100% freedom, but you also had maximum 100% responsibility. And where have we heard this before? That freedom comes with responsibility. When you separate the two, you get democracy. Oh wait, where have we heard this before? Who's talked about this? Couldn't have possibly been me. No, I would never talk. I love democracy. There's nothing better than democracy. That is the greatest thing ever. Let's go back to reading Aaron Clary's post. Enter democracy. Through trial and error, 4,000 years of war, and a little philosophy along the way, government has evolved to its most advanced state, democracy. And while it certainly has some benefits, the primary drawback of democracy is that it gives people the right to vote to enslave and live off others. This not only gives rise to politicians who simply run on a platform of wealth redistribution, but also one that bails out the stupid at the expense of the smart. And so today, 70% of state, local, and federal budgets are not spent on public goods that benefit all, but are nothing more than TARP-like bailout programs bailing people out of their spectacularly stupid mistakes. Did you breed more children than you could afford? Well, that's all right. Rosary will pay for it. Rossi? Who? What? I don't know who Rossi is. Royce will pay for it with more taxes. Oh, I know who it is now. It's some person who I don't know how to pronounce his name. Did you major in a stupid subject, borrowing $120,000 in student loans which you can never hope to pay back? That's all okay. Roosh will pay for it with more taxes. Did you fail to save for retirement because you were too busy partying in the 1960s, smoking dope, telling your World War II generation parents they were squares? Don't worry, Rollo's got you covered with extra taxes to bail you out. In other words, we aren't so much giving people money for bribery for votes, though that is true, as much as we are inoculating and shielding them from the full cost and consequences of their mistakes. And that is why people don't deserve the freedom they've been given. Not because they don't inherently deserve maximum freedoms, but because they've never suffered or endured the negative reinforcement lessons that life teaches you. The argument, then, for limiting people's freedoms is compelling. For a society incapable of learning through negative reinforcement and fatherly love will suffer and ultimately destroy itself in three major ways. 1. Nobody will ever grow up to become competent, self-supporting adults. They will forever remain post-pubescent children. This is no more apparent than the laughingstock that is known as millennial college students. Yes, some are self-supporting, yes, some will become contributing adults in society, but there has never been a higher percentage of not only fully dependent pariahs, but equally psychotic ones as well. They are not obsessed about accruing enough in savings to retire successfully as much as they are beating themselves up over their white privilege. They are not concerned about attracting the opposite sex as much as they are blaming them for all the ails in the world. They are not concerned about the $18 trillion in debt they voted to enslave themselves into. Most of them don't even know what a trillion is, as much as they are with going green and their carbon footprint. In other words, these are completely dysfunctional and worthless people to society who will come nowhere near to producing the economic production necessary to support themselves and will become an even bigger financial burden on society than the baby boomers. Whew, yes. Millennials, yeah, they're classics. And yeah, it's true, I mean, the millennials, that's one of their biggest problems, is they have been completely insulated from the consequences to any mistake that they make. And via democracy, they seek even more insulation and isolation. My God, you know, I can't be bothered to go buy my own birth control pill so I can ride the cock carousel. I have a right to free birth control, and the fucking pill should be brought to my house by a fucking white man as a way of atoning for the patriarchy. I mean, maybe the men should take the fucking birth controls for you because of all the years of oppression you've had to suffer. All right, anyway, let me go back to reading. Randy, where are we on time? Great, thank you, dear. 2, constantly bailing out people from their mistakes prevents the economy and society from purging the cancerous humans from our institutions and engines of economic growth. Nearly every banker scum who had a hand in creating the financial disaster is still employed in their same capacity. Nearly every college student today will be bailed out of there by a soothsaying politician. He typoed here. Nearly every college student today will be bailed out of their debt, is what he was probably going to write, by a soothsaying politician, either directly or by creating make-work programs that can only further tax society. And it is my humble estimation that the next generation of children to be raised by single moms will be the final straw that breaks the economy's back, as government checks may put food on the tables, but they do not raise strong, independent, law-abiding economic powerhouse men. Banksters will still be crippling our financial system. Liberal arts majors will still be parasiting off the nonprofit academia public sector world. And the quality of children will not be improving, but rather worsening, providing no hope for a future recovery. And finally, 3, demographics. Sorry, the fact of the matter is that stupid people breed. And my further apologies by pointing out the additional truth that stupid people tend to breed stupid people. Idiocracy is not a work of fiction, but a documentary. And again, let me stop reading for a moment and just point this out. Where have we heard this before? Who is it that keeps saying we have to stop the stupid people from breeding? If you ever want to fucking save this society, step number 1, stop breeding stupid people. But we're not. By we, I mean we as a society, because the stupid people vote Democrat, and the Democrat Party is going to continue to make sure they get their fucking welfare and that they keep breeding. Just like the Republicans breed people in the churches because those people vote Republican, the Democrats breed poor people because the poor people vote Democrat. It's a fucking breeding. This is one of the biggest problems with democracy. When you have a democracy, you have an incentive for politicians, because politicians have to win a popularity contest, you have an incentive for those politicians to breed more people who will vote for them. And so the Republicans are going to breed more fucking religious fanatics, and the Democrats are going to breed more poor people. And the only way we're going to get rid of poor people and religious fanatics is to get rid of democracy. Back to reading. How did this come to be? Well, democracy, once again, allows us to bail out all the stupid people who make the most idiotic mistakes they can make, breeding kids they can't afford. Of course, this taxes the smarter, more responsible people who would have otherwise had children, should a society be more meritocratic. And Aaron Clary talks shit about a Rooney using big words. Should our society be more of a meritocracy? I can't say that word, but I can say meritocracy, which is what he's getting at. Which further delays their breeding to the point that they may never have kids. And alas, since it's too impolite to force the losers of society to bear the full cost of the illegitimate children they spawned, they will not only fail to learn their lesson, but breed more, ensuring society has a critical mass of stupid people who are simply not capable of supporting society. However, while the consequences of letting people have unlimited freedom may mean the ultimate demise of the world's greatest society, it is in not letting people have freedom that is the problem. It is in shielding them from the full cost of their mistakes. It is in preventing them from taking 100% responsibility for their actions and where the problem lies. If we were to take action and enact policies that no longer bailed people out, be they bankers, liberal arts students, single moms, or public union pensioners, those natural laws of negative reinforcement, punishment, and tough fatherly love would do the work for us, relieving us of the duty of determining which freedoms people should or should not have. Of course, this is all very academic and fanciful, and equally so in both camps. Roush's theoretical advocation of rescinding the voting rights of unmarried parents would be equally lead balloony as my advocation of the immediate elimination of all income transfers. Not only is the cat out of the bag, it is no longer property owners who can vote, but society is so stupid that they would most likely be accused of being bigots and haters and run out of town. However, since this is all in shoulda land, there is one more compelling reason humanity, no matter how long it is in the future, should never have their freedoms limited as opposed to their responsibilities fully enforced. And of course, this is where we get to, again, you know, statists like Roush throw out this shit about how Obama should make everyone's decisions for them. And yeah, great. How about the logistical problems with that? Back to reading. Who precisely will determine what people are allowed what freedoms? Sadly, the answer is the state, as it is only the state that can enforce such things. And sadly, the state is not only completely incapable of determining with reasonable morality and justice who should have what freedoms, it is also highly corrupt with ideologues and politicians only too happy to oppress and destroy those citizens who disagree with them, further ensuring their own power. In short, going the route of limiting people's personal freedoms is not only impossible, but it will only end in complete tyranny and totalitarianism. But of course, this is a problem. I don't think Roush can't figure this out. Roush knows good and goddamn well what would happen. But Roush, being a fucking statist, is terrified of people making mistakes. And he doesn't give a shit about tyranny and totalitarianism. He's just scared that somebody might make a mistake. Because Roush, for all his intelligence, is apparently a giant fucking vagina. And sorry, Roush, if this hurts your fucking feelings, but you're the one who's sitting here going, I want Obama to make everybody's decisions for them. I want Obama to decide what freedoms people have. Well, sorry, you sound like a fucking feminist. Deal with it. If you don't want to sound like a feminist, stop calling for Obama to make everybody's fucking decisions for them. You want some fucking free birth control pills also? Fuck. Back to reading. Where the hell did I leave off? Ergo, the only answer in this mentally stimulating but completely theoretical debate is to enforce responsibility. Did that aging dude bro banker douche make $45 million in loans to his buddy who had no intention of paying him back? Let the bank collapse and with it his career. And, yep, as I've said before, the banks shouldn't have bailed them out. Should have let them collapse. That's how capitalism works, people. As I have said before, Enron is the most beautiful example of capitalism in a long time. Enron, they did stupid shit. They went out of business. That's how it's supposed to work. All these banks that were bailed out by your fucking messiah, Hussein Obama, with my tax money, because you don't pay taxes. I mean, you're a single fucking mom with three kids by two baby daddies getting welfare and WIC, and you're oppressed by the patriarchy, and you don't get enough free birth control. I know you didn't fucking do anything to bail them out. I did. I fucking paid for that. So fuck you, honey. They should have gone under. Automobile corporations, gone under. All this shit, every fucking thing bailed out by the government should have gone under. Did that single mom have another kid with yet another man that, quote, all of a sudden became a real jerk, unquote, 0.0002 milliseconds after she gave birth with no signs whatsoever? Too bad. There's the shelter and here's an adoption agency. And did Madison McMillennial get her third doctorate in women's Afro cross-sectionality studies at that prestigious small liberal arts college in Massachusetts with $200,000 in debt? Too bad. Hope you know how to make Big Macs, serve coffee, and like ramen noodles, because that's the rest of your life. Alas, you don't need to punish people by taking away their freedoms. You simply need to reintroduce the responsibility politicians have taken away from it over the past 50 years. And trust me, bearing the full cost and consequences of the mistakes people have made in their lives, simply making them be fully responsible adults, will be unbearable and insufferable punishment that nearly none of them would ever be able to endure. And this is, that's the end of the article, and this is the absolute truth. All you have to do to solve almost every fucking problem that we are looking at in our society, you know, the violence, rape, poverty, unwed. Of course, some people, and again, problem, when I say to solve every problem, this is why I'm smarter than you, because I can make observations like this. People have different definitions of problems. For most of you out there, single unwed mothers with multiple children and multiple baby daddies on welfare and WIC, that's not a problem. You don't see a problem with that at all. That's just a lifestyle choice. So I shouldn't even say problems. I should say lifestyle choices that are detrimental to the furthering of society would come to an end if we simply had personal responsibility. That's all you have to do, is get rid of all of this bailing people out, both the corporations and individually. Like Aaron said, it's just like the banks. Stop bailing out the banks. The bad banks will vanish. Stop bailing out the single mothers. The single mothers will vanish. That which you reward is that which you will get more of. That which you tolerate is that which will continue. Aaron Cleary, agreeing with me. It's a glorious, glorious day. I have like a couple of minutes, don't I? I have a book here. I may or may not do a podcast episode talking about this book. I've just started it. I am only on page 18. It's called The Greenwash Effect: Corporate Deception, Celebrity Environmentalist, and What Big Business Isn't Telling You About Their Green Products and Brands. It's written by Guy Pearce, P-E-A-R-S-E. Now, Guy Pearce, and I don't know anything about him other than reading this book. I haven't Googled him or anything yet. From his writing, I am coming to the conclusion from his writing. Wait, hold on. Guy Pearce is an author and columnist whose four previous books focus heavily on how politicians and corporations mislead the public about their response to major environmental concerns. He is a former political advisor, lobbyist, and speech writer. Pearce lives in Sunshine Coast hinterland in Queensland, Australia. That's all I know about him from reading the first 19 pages of this book. I have the impression that he is an environmentalist. He is a left-wing statist. He is a global warming wacko believer. And the book basically is just page after page after page of him writing things like, this company says they're green. Here's what they're really doing. This company says they're green. But what about? And this is a great book. So they're broken up in chapters by like industries. So like he has banks, beers, big box grocery and retail, cars, celebrities, coffee, Earth Hour, electricity, fashion, fast food, flight, freight, home appliances and entertainment, hotels, cruising and casinos, media, online searching, shopping, and socializing. Well, that's a long chapter compared to the others. Gasoline, phones, computers, office electronics, professional services, real estate, sex, soft drinks, sports, sweet treats. Ha, that's me. Conclusion. And he, you know, I like this when people who, because it's rare when you see these fucking environmentalist wackos who can see through the bullshit. And this is what he's doing. He, in, as I'm reading this, he does what I've talked about all this time. These people say, well, we're so green, you know. Like you know, all of you Apple cocksuckers who buy every fucking iPhone, as I always point out, you're all a bunch of tree-hugging hippies, you're into environmental wackoism and shit, yet the iPhone you purchase is made by slave labor in China. It's made using rare elements that are extracted from the earth by strip mining and have to be separated from the ore using toxic chemicals. Your iPhone has to be taken across the ocean burning fossil fuels. It's driven across the country with fossil fuels. And all of you fucking tree-hugging, global warming, wacko, cocksucking fuckers, you ignore all of this stuff because you're stupid. And Guy Pearson is pointing all of this out in the book. Like he's talking about, I'm in the chapter about banks. And he's talking about these banks say they're saving money by, you know, they're green or whatever. But this bank is also one of the major financiers of these strip mining corporations. Right? He's pointing out the supply chain. That's what I talk about with the iPhone, right? The supply chain, that's the part where they strip mine the earth, extract the rare elements with the toxic chemicals, build a cell phone in China with slave labor, drive it across China burning fossil fuels, sail it across the ocean, drive it across the United States, right? But then Apple sits and goes, oh, we care about the environment. Because they, and by extension you, because you're not that intelligent, you ignore everything that's the outsourcing thing, right? That's like I talked about when this dumb bitch I know who works at OtterBox told me how the plastic used in OtterBox products is toxic and you can't manufacture it in the United States, so they manufacture the plastic, which is toxic, in third world countries. And yet you environmentalist hippies love OtterBox products because by just taking the toxic chemical production and sending it to a third world country, see, you don't notice it anymore. That's what he's pointing out through this book. And I'm just like, yes, thank you. I'm sure I disagree with him about global warming, but thank you for being fucking honest, dude. I can respect the man's honesty and his ability to fucking think, which most of you out there just don't fucking have. Which is, of course, because you've been separated from any responsibility for your fuck-ups because of democracy. So fuck you.